NFL no huddle about 20 minutes away from right now, but 11:40 on Wednesdays means Dave Archer joins the show. Arch, how are you?
We're gonna call him Composure Dave.
Fellas, good to be with you. Good to know that, you know, Randy, you know, when he goes on vacation, it centers around the Georgia bye week, which is kind of interesting.
She knew that. I don't book nothing, Dave. She knew that. She
did. I think that's the definition of a damn good dog.
Yeah, right, man. Yeah, she know the deal and everything like that. But we call you Composure Dave because I was leaving my little man's football game when the whole Kyle Pitts thing happened. And for your – that's like three games in a row, Dave. Your composure when you're calling games, because you want to say
they're testing you.
You want to say everything we want to say, Dave. But you,
Randy, what is it?
I don't know.
The guys want to do the little flip of the ball right at the goal line.
I don't know. I don't understand it. It happened in hell. It happened at Iowa State.
It did. Yeah, the Iowa State game a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
we got lucky. Well, they ended up getting the ball. It's a 2-yard run anyway, so right. It ended up being a kind of pick six anyway. But I don't get it. I just run in the end zone. Show that you got the ball. I mean, I thought Raheem said it best. He says, hey, that's an indication that you haven't scored multi-touchdowns in a game when you start doing that kind of stuff.
Which is true. It was his first multiple-touchdown game, hopefully first of many. Fair to say, though, probably the last time you see Kyle Pitts do something like that at the goal line, like a learning opportunity potentially?
No question about it. I talked to him after the game. He said it was very much a learning experience, and he told me he was our guest on the coach's show on Monday, and he reiterated that. And I think that Raheem pounded that idea through when they were sitting on the bench right after he did it.
Yeah. Hey, Dave, what have they been doing lately to get him more involved early on?
I think it's just a matter of Kyle wanting to be aggressive, Randy. I mean, you know, you saw in the first touchdown he catches on fourth down there after that great play by Jesse Bates early in the game, get the ball out, get that short field opportunity. They're in a bunch look. He's got a DB right on him trying to jam him, keep him off the ball. He's, you know, ragdolls the guy to the ground and gets to the corner and gets himself open. I just think that there's a little bit more want to in him. And you're right. If you go look at the last four games, his numbers are way up compared to his four games. I just think he wants to be involved. He realizes it's a pretty good team, and he wants to be involved, be a part of it.
What I mean, obviously, you're calling the games. You're in there and watching, getting ready for him, and afterwards as well. But from the matchup that Tampa presents, what has made Kirk so good against that defense? Because he was incredible both times out.
Yeah, I think he's got a really good feel for some of the pre-snap stuff they're doing. So whenever you can get a pretty good idea of what teams are going to try to do, then you're not having to sift through and figure it out. You know, pre-snap look gives you an idea of what's happening, and then you try to confirm it in your first couple of steps in your drop, and then either you got to change your mind as to what you thought you saw or you confirm it. I think he's confirming stuff with all the ball snap with those guys. I think that, and that's part of what's going on down there. I think Tampa's in a real dilemma down there because they're not playing the kind of defense they're used to playing. I think it's part of it because they don't have, you know, guys that are making plays for them like Atlanta has on their defensive side. But he just gets in his zone. It's been fun to watch him.
Hey, Dave, I said this on Monday, and I know you watch him, you're close and everything like that. Was that the best game A.J. Terrell's played? Because I thought, Dave, the way he tackled, obviously the interception, just being forced in the run, everything like that. I just really – because I didn't get a chance to see the Seattle game until the next day. And we know D.K. Metcalf gives everybody problems. But as far as his play on Sunday, what did you think about that?
Well, as you know, he's drawing, for the most part, he's drawing that tough assignment. You mentioned D.K. Metcalf. He's drawing guys throughout, you know, when you start thinking about the best receiver on each team. So – but I do think it continues to get better. It's always easy to say it was his better game because he had an interception in it, right? So, but to have a play, make a play like that, and the way he did, I mean, I know, Randy, you probably saw it, but they played two invert, which sends him back to the half safety position, and he read it like a safety and broke on the play down the sideline. Actually baited Baker into that throw down the sideline and makes the play. He's had some good games, and I think he's always been pretty physical for his size at corner. But when you sprinkle in the fact that he stole one, you know, I think that probably shoves it near the top.
Yeah, he had that play. Obviously had a big hit right before that as well. Jesse Bates continues to create turnovers, whether it's with punching the ball out or intercepting it. And we've seen this defense capable of making those big plays and taking the ball away. We're halfway through the season. Like I don't know that this is if it's a blip. Do you think that this is something that we can count on with this defense? Obviously the pass rush hasn't been what you want, but in terms of being able to take the ball away?
Well, I think that's what these guys are. I think that, you know, Jesse certainly is that. You talked about guys that Tampa doesn't want to see again. You know, Jesse Bates in two games this season has 16 tackles, 3 forced fumbles, and interception. I'm pretty sure that Dunner's been seeing Jesse Bates again.
Damn.
You know, so Darnell Mooney's, or he's got like 17 grabs for 200 yards and 3 touchdowns. They don't want to see Darnell Mooney anymore. You know, that, I'm pretty sure they don't want to see Atlanta, period, again. You know, but I think that, you'd like to think they're going to continue to come, Andy. The takeaways, I think that Jesse has a knack for punching the ball out. You saw Nate Landman punch the ball out. I don't know if you remember Baker Mayfield on a quarterback sneak gets the ball punched out by Landman. So guys are starting to kind of pick up on the idea that, hey, we can change the game because of those things. And frankly, because you haven't been able to get the quarterback on the ground, you're going to need to continue to do that. You know, if you're not going to sack the quarterback, and I know you guys have been talking about the numbers, and they're certainly anemic this year with only, what, 5 or 6 sacks this year. Yeah. I mean, they had 40 or 42 sacks last year.
Yeah.
So, and that put them somewhere in that, you know, middle part of the, maybe just out of the middle part. You know, the Super Bowl team only had, what, 37 sacks, I think. They were like 16th or 17th, 18th in the league in sacks. And New England was the same that year. Both those teams went to the Super Bowl. So, you don't have to sack the quarterback at a high level like we've seen. You know, Kansas City has been unbelievable sacking the quarterback the last couple of years, and it's helped propel them to the Super Bowl. But if you're an offensive team like this one is, and you can get timely plays like you're talking about, Andy, then I think that, you know, you don't necessarily have to depend on getting the ball, getting the quarterback on the ground 50 times.
Dave, have you heard anything about Troy Anderson or anything and how he's progressing towards it? And I was going to ask you a question. Do you sense that they miss his presence in the middle of that defense?
I think anytime you've got a guy that's as big and as athletic as he is, you know, he's a starter for a reason, Randy. I think that you miss the guy. And it just so happened that the game that, you know, he goes out on, he has 16 tackles. So you can't help but miss something like that, right?
Yeah.
His sideline-to-sideline ability, and then his ability from a size standpoint. We've got a couple linebackers that are smallish. We've got a couple linebackers that are kind of medium size. And Troy's at 245 pounds. So you start talking about stacking up the run game. That's a big body in there that can help provide roadblocks. But he was pretty close last week, it seemed like, to getting on the field. They declared him inactive last week. So I think he's probably going to be pretty close to playing in this one.
Yeah, Raheem, I guess just Josh Kendall just tweeted out that sounds like Troy Anderson might get back this week, sounding more positive about that. Not looking great, quote, for Ruka Roro. So unlikely that he'll play. What about some of the other young guys? Maybe this is fresh on the mind because we spent the day with a lot of the rookie class yesterday. But what do you think it's going to take for some of those other young guys, specifically on the defensive line, Dorless? I know Roro got out there, but to get a little bit of playing time.
Well, Roro is a guy that showed up in training camp, too, and we kind of was a little bit surprised that they, you know, they went with the veteran Street over Roro when it came to being active on game day. But Roop continued to improve during practice. He was causing problems in practice with being stout. Dorless is a little bit different guy. Dorless is a quicker twitch guy. He's not a, you know, Roop is one of those kind of guys playing a 3 or can slide to a 1 technique. He can swell up and he can swallow guys. If you play him one-on-one, he's powerful. Dorless seems to be a little bit more of a 3 or slide him out to a 5 technique, and I know I'm getting too technical probably here. Randy can go through this, but he's a little bit a twitchier guy, maybe not quite as tough at the point of attack. And you're talking about stopping the run, that probably is not what you're looking for, you know, when you start trying to. And I would imagine that Dorless is going to get a good look this week because of Rook, and Rook's not going to be able to go. And Catavius Street may come back up off the inactive as well. So that's probably what they're kind of debating right now, Randy.
Dave, they got the guys with the stars on the helmets coming in. Tell us a little bit about them. I mean, obviously everybody knows who the headliners are, Dak and CeeDee and those boys. But, I mean, is it all about just finding a way to slow down CeeDee and you got them? Because, from what you look, they can't stop the run. They can't run the football.
Yeah, it's crazy that they can't run it and they can't stop it. And a lot of it has to do with the people that are out – for him defensively. Obviously, their two edge guys, DeMarcus Lawrence and Michael Parsons, have not been able to play. Now, there's a chance, much like you were talking about Troy Anderson being able to play, Michael Parsons was pretty close last week to playing. So there's a good chance that he might be available for him. And frankly, if I'm Mike McCarthy, I go up to him and say, listen, dude, we don't have any more time to wait. You're going to have to come back if you're only 85%. We need you on the field. And that may be what happens here. But if you go back and you look, and I kind of compare this to the Rams organization. The Rams played Dallas last year, and Dallas ran them off the field. And, of course, Dak was second in the league in MVP voting last year. But he threw for over 300 yards and four touchdowns in that game. CeeDee Lamb had 12 grabs for 160 yards and two touchdowns, and Parsons had two sacks in that game. Now, you're going to be playing against Zach Robinson's offense, which is very similar to that Ram offense. Now, different personnel, obviously. And you're going to be playing against that Dallas, they're going to be playing against our defense, which is, you know, very similar to what they run out there in L.A. So if that gives you any kind of warning sign, it should, because they're certainly very capable of ringing you up if you're not careful.
Great stuff, Arch.
Appreciate it,
as
Dave.
Always. Thank you.
All right, fellas. See you.
Dave Archer there, Atlanta Falcons analyst, former quarterback, radio call. You can hear him on the call on Sunday right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.